So by the time you are listening to this, it will be next year. But we are recording this last year, which means that there's some sort of weird space-time continuum doohickey happening right now. So hopefully you are not or will not be buried under lots of snow next year / this year. Is that confusing for anybody else?
I mean, what is time? So, you know.
Time is a flat circle, according to...
Yes, a flat circle. So our guest, we have another guest today. So our guest is Suleika Snyder.
And yay, I'm so excited.
We are, listen, Suleika, we are hyped. We are so hyped to have you here. And it was so fun to get to meet you at the Seattle book signing thing. That was so fun.
I was so glad to finally get to meet you. And I got to meet Melinda, I think, earlier this year for the first time. Yeah, so it's great.
One time, but yes, this year.
Yes.
now just Melinda and I need to meet now so that, yes, you know, we can just complete this trifecta, right?
Exactly.
Right, close the loop or whatever, you know, we've all, so that we've all met.
So before we jump into our theme, Suleika, could you tell the people about yourself?
Oh my gosh, what do I say? I'm a writer of contemporary romance and some erotic romance, and I guess coming up now, paranormal romantic suspense.
What?
Yes, sorry. I have an upcoming 3-book series with Sourcebooks Casablanca that should be debuting in January 2021, and it's utterly bonkers. It's like highly political. It's got wolf shifters and lion shifters and characters from Indian mythology. It's and tons of sex.
Mika's like, oh my gosh, this is both of our wheelhouse right now.
Yeah. We're gonna have to cancel the podcast. Everyone, thank you for listening. I'm going to go hyperventilate. Yay. Well, that's awesome. I know by the time that this is aired, we have talked a lot about your books on this podcast, which is exciting. And Melinda, I know, has read several of your books.
Well, Suleika is the queen of the novella, the short story, and I just can't help it. Take a Chance on Me is just, I have wrecked it to literally everyone that knows me, and my phone autocorrects. If I write Tikka, it will automatically recommend that I put Chance on Me after it. Because I type it so much. So
I should start giving you a commission or something for every time you recommend it.
I just really love the book, okay? I can't help it. And it just got a great new cover. It's super cute. Ugh, I love it so much.
Well, so, thank you. Thank you so much for supporting it and loving it the way you do. I really appreciate that. And as I said, I should figure out a way to give you some sort of commission.
How you can do that is just keep writing great books. So that's all I need.
I will do my best.
So we're going to jump into our theme. And this is a really exciting theme for me because I don't know shit about it. So that's why it's exciting, because I actually we're going to be talking about retellings. And honestly, unless it says in the title what kind of retelling it is and actually has the word retelling, I probably won't know that it's a retelling. I need it to be a brick in the face for me. I don't do subtle very well, and I don't know that I have actually ever read a retelling. So I want to ask you both, first off, why do you think that people get so excited about stories being retold, whether it's a classic retelling or a fairy tale retelling? What do you think is the draw?
Well, I think part of it is that you are starting with a core story that's very familiar. So people already have some sort of investment in that plot, in that setup. And then you're basically adding your own, framework to that. I mean, if you think about it, people talk a lot lately about the Regency era and why the Regency era is so freaking popular in romance and all the stuff with Georgette Heyer, whatever her name is. I was like, not that I like pronouncing people's names wrong, but I've never really heard her name spoken. Anyway, they talk about how the Regency is like Regency romances now are sort of retelling this comfortable, familiar setting, and why a lot of the pushback against diversity is because, you know, we're saying that. Okay, I'm actually getting completely off topic, and I'm trying to go for it. Well, you know,
we go on random rants all the time. It does not matter.
Dig into it. Lean into it.
So obviously, people of color and queer people of color and everyone existed during the actual Regency, but like this comfortable kind of fanficky world is what has so many fans in Romancelandia, right? This white fanficky, everyone's in a ballroom and shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a really good way to put it, the fanficky. I like that. Yes, I like the idea, actually.
So that's kind of what it is. Like, as I wandered off into the Regency rant, what I meant to say was that it's a way of packaging a story in a fanficky sort of way that's comfortable, you know, and familiar to the reader. So that's a form of retelling, I feel like, in a way. The Regency shoves.
That's the reason why people like having those retellings. And for me, like, I personally am not a big fan of classic Austen, which I know is heresy and, like, that's not a big thing that people like to say, but I'm not a big fan of original Austen. But I love retellings when they're done in new ways.
Yes, I am with you here. You're not alone on the Austen-hating couch. I am right next to you. I didn't care for Pride and Prejudice. The Colin Firth coming out of the water thing does nothing for me. You know, I liked Mark Darcy and Bridget Jones' Diary. Like, Bridget Jones' Diary as a retelling of Pride and Prejudice really worked for me. And similarly, like, my favorite, whenever people bring up Austen, I go Pride and Prejudice because, like, it's excellent. That movie is amazing. Like, Austen retellings take that world, that Austenian world that she's created with all these white people and you know, whatever, dude in want of a wife. And whatever that quote is. And Austen retellings take that and kind of like flip it around. And especially South Asian retellings, which is my catnip. I love Sonali Dev's Pride, Prejudice, and Other Flavors. Usma Jalaluddin's Ayesha at Last is just beautiful.
I love that book.
Love that book. Like, give me an Indian Austen retelling and I am on it. Like, I'm there. I am all over it. I still need to read, South Asian in general. So I still need to read Sonia Kamal's Unmarriageable. That's on my list, too.
I also tried a Jane Austen book and did not finish it. And people keep like telling me, you know, oh, Mika, you need to go back and read it. And there's so much nuance. No. And I was just like, and I'm pretty sure, you know, I always tell people that I don't really read a lot of historical because I just want to push Regency England off a cliff.
Yes.
which always gets me some serious side eye from Romancelandia sometimes.
This entire podcast is going to get us canceled, isn't it?
I know. I read Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies. So maybe if you just throw in like some monsters that like to eat people, it works for me.
Yes.
As a retelling.
There you go. Same.
See, I think that we're all in agreement. We just need something new and different. Like, I just saw, do you guys see that trailer for Emma that just came out?
Frankly, when I saw that it was Jane Austen, I just scrolled past it.
I did not.
I'm sorry.
It's the same again. And it honestly looked really good, but then it was just the same, you know, white actors with pretty dresses and acting great, I'm sure. But I was like, I just wish, why are they remaking it again? Yeah.
Well, it's like the 14th Little Women remake. Who gives a crap? Oh, my God.
And like, Little Women is one of my favorites. But what I would give for, like, a diverse Little Women. Give me a queer, like, give me some queer characters. Give me South Asian characters. Give me black characters. I would give anything for that.
I would read the fuck out of that. I'm just being honest. But, yes. Yeah.
Again, Little Women, if they could give that to me in a different format, in a book, which I... come on. Yes. I like the Pride and Prejudice reimaginings, but I would, authors, if you want to give me a Little Women with inclusivity, I would love it, just FYI.
I feel like every podcast we're coming out here with some plot, with some plot ideas.
Yes.
For people to pick up
on. Right. While they're canceling us.
Yes. But I've read amazing, you know, retellings, which we have recs for everyone. We really do. And I'm not complaining. I mean, the recs that I've read, that I have, and that I know Suleika came with, I love, but I'm just saying that I also could love, you know, other stuff as well.
Yes.
So this leads me to we will definitely get to the recs, but I still have more questions. Nope. I need to be educated. Okay. So when it comes to the retelling, because I have seen Bridget Jones' Diary. I probably didn't know that it was an Austen retelling personally. Yeah. So how much, let's see how I want to ask this. So like, you know how romance has the rule about like happily ever after, and like for most mysteries, you solve that at the end. Mm-hmm. In the retellings, what makes it a retelling? Like how much of the original plot needs to be a part of what is being retold? Can it be done subtly, or does it need to, like, if I did, like, let's say there was like the story about the three bears or something like that, but we had like the three dudes, right? Uh-huh. And so his bed is too big and his bed is too small.
I don't think it's gonna be the bed, Mika.
It's not gonna be the bed. But this one is just right. So, you know. And the one who's just right also like makes some breakfast in the morning. So hey. So what are like the rules to make it a retelling?
I don't know, without it
being like, it's a retelling.
I know that there are rules. You can be as subtle or as blatant as you want. You know what I mean? It really depends. Like, we have so many. Like, Beauty and the Beast retellings are, like, so thick on the ground. They're like a man's chest hair.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, it's always, like, you know, a scarred hero. Sometimes we get a scarred heroine, but it's usually, like, a scarred hero and an innocent who, like, you know, turns him from a growly bear into a cinnamon roll, you know? And that's everywhere. And it's as blatant or as subtle as the author wants. And that's what I did with Bollywood and the Beast. I took that basic plot. You know, she's not, you know, it's not because of her father. It's, you know, he's not cursed. He's just an actor who got into a severe car accident and is now like a monumental asshole who never leaves his house. And so my touch upon the Beauty and the Beast retelling was a very light touch, because she's also not there to break his curse. She actually kind of tells him to get off his butt and go get therapy. Like, it's...
is the greatest way to break a curse in, you know, contemporary. So.
Right. Just get off your butt and go get therapy.
Exactly.
Yeah. That is an I love you gesture. If I don't know what else is one, that right there is one.
I can't fix you. But that was my take on it. Like, and I also had a secondary character who is cursed in a different way. He's grappling with being an abuse survivor and with severe depression. And, you know, he has to kind of break his own curse, you know, and in a much more emotional way. So I like to take those kinds of things and use them very lightly. But then you'll have people who'll do like much more by the book retellings, you know, hitting kind of the exact same plot beats. And you'll see that a lot with the Pride and the Prejudice books. Like, they'll sort of hit the same, you know, she has the same amount of sisters and the guy kind of snubs her at first. And, you know, they often have similar names to Darcy and Elizabeth. And yeah, you don't see as much of that with the fairy tale retellings. The fairy tale retellings tend to be a lot more fast and loose, I'd say.
Yeah, I think with the classics, I think there's a fine line, because I think with, you know, like the fanatics about the classics, you might find them being very, oh my gosh, you change too much, and so they won't like it.
Yeah.
But when it comes to fairy tales, it's much more like, it's a fairy tale. If you change something, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I don't mind when there's things that are changed, again, because we've already established I don't really care that much if the classic is changed or not.
Right. And it's not just Western canon classics. Like, one of my favorite retellings that I read in the last few years was A Spark of White Fire and A House of Rage and Sorrow by Sangu Mandana. And they are space opera retellings of an epic Hindu poem called the Mahabharata. And it is one of the oldest epic poems of all time. Like, it has spawned, it spawned religious texts for Hinduism. Like, this, it's like a, when you talk classic, like, this is serious classic. It's been around for, you know, thousands of years. And she took it, and she changed names, set it in space, did all these things. But if you're familiar with the story, like, it all jumps out. It, like, you can tell where she got the inspiration for various plot beats, for various characters and their relationships. And so even though it has, you know, as I said, completely different names and it's set in space, like, it is such a beautiful retelling of that original epic. I think there's a third book. Yes, there's a third book coming out, and I can't wait because she ended the second one in such an oh shit place.
Like, this sounds amazing.
And I put that on my wish list for so long, and I did not know that that was a reimagining, and that makes me want to read it even more.
It's phenomenal. Like, she gender swaps characters, and just, like, there's a love story in it. It's just, and it's intense, and it's like all these characters who are engaging in backstabbing and skullduggery, and
Oh my God,
it's so intense and so beautiful and completely rooted in Hindu mythology and in a really new and fresh way. Roshni Choksi does this too. I probably pronounced her name. I'm getting like everyone's names wrong this podcast, with The Crown of Wishes and her other book that I can't remember because I'm rambling.
Queen, I think.
The Starless Queen. Both of those are also retellings of kind of various Hindu myths, and I think the Starless Queen has a touch of Hades Persephone in there too. And it's I just love seeing people, you know, take stuff from other cultures and their own cultures and put their own modern spins on them. Like, I love that to pieces.
I want more of this. Okay. All right. Yes. You came with the goods too, man. You've already given us a lot of really great recommendations. We're excited because we know you got more. I just want someone to rewrite. Like, so when I was in the sixth grade, I read Jane Eyre, and I read it like abridged because they had the abridged. That was the only Braille copy that they had. And being in like fifth or sixth grade, whenever I read this, it tripped me out. Like, it was amazing to me. But now I want someone to redo Jane Eyre and to continue to put the nail in the Romancelandia coffin. I want it without Rochester. Because he is a dick.
I feel like someone just recently pitched, or it has coming out in the next, I can't remember who, I just saw the publication announcement, I can't remember who it was. I don't know that it's going to bug me until I remember who it was, but they're doing a lesbian retelling of Jane Eyre where Jane and Bertha team up.
Yes!
Oh, is it Rose Lerner?
Yes, it is. It's Rose Lerner.
Yes. They team up against Rochester. I cannot wait.
Oh my gosh. First off, Rose Lerner, I would like to thank you for giving me the things that I want. And that is awesome.
Yes. I'm so psyched. I was actually working on a lesbian Jane Eyre myself several years back. But then I realized, this is the funny thing, I realized I hated the source material and therefore I wasn't the proper person to write it. I got like...
That's probably a good call.
Yeah. I got about 2,000 words into it and I was trying to read the original at the same time. And I was like, God, I hate this. And those first 2,000 words are pretty good, but I was like, I'm not the right person to do it because I it's just lost on me. And so I'm glad someone who clearly has a passion for the source material and can do it justice is, you know, flipping it around. It sounds, you know, like, yes, do that.
That is awesome. Because mine would literally be called Fuck You, Rochester, a retelling by Mika White.
I would read that. Can I read that? Fuck You, Rochester, a retelling?
Fuck you, Rochester.
Yes.
Fuck You, Rochester. The Attic Strikes Back. That'd be the other one.
Oh, my
one.
God. Yes.
So, well, thank you, because I am, like, even more interested in retellings, because I have often breezed past books that say that they are a retelling, because I felt like if I didn't read the source material, then that probably meant that I wouldn't be able to have as deep of an appreciation of the book. So I really appreciate both of you, like, proving me wrong.
One that Suleika mentioned briefly earlier that I loved so much was Aisha at Last. I loved it so much because both of the main characters are Muslim, and it is just such a wonderful take on Pride and Prejudice. And Aisha, the female main character, she wears a hijab, and Khalid is a traditionalist Muslim. And I just loved just everything about the book.
Their misunderstandings of each other, you know, are cultural, much like Darcy and Elizabeth. But I don't know, just the way they misunderstand each other, but also are attracted to one another, like, really worked for me because of the way they were rooted in how both characters were raised and both characters' values. And then the supporting cast is great. Like, the take on Mr. Collins in this book is freaking hilarious. Like,
yeah, I just thought that the way she managed everything, and like, you don't see a lot of traditionalists of any religion in many romance. And I mean, I'm not super religious, but I really appreciated just that on the page and seeing how much he found comfort in his religion.
Yes.
I just thought it was a really lovely romance and just a really, really great take. It was one of my favorites when I read it.
Yeah, same. Like, I like anything that, like, yeah, turns these things on their ear and kind of, yeah.
I know that Melinda, you just gave one, which sounds like a great book. But I didn't get which. I think I missed what retelling that was.
Oh, that was Pride and Prejudice as well. But that one, okay. It was just such a different take on it. I just really loved it.
Yeah. I mean, awesome. Basically, I'm a big fan of, like, taking, you know, and Rose Lerner's Jane Eyre is also, I think it's Regency Jewish and Gothic. So I love anything that takes, you know, these staid kind of white British classics and flips them around and gives them an own voices spin and shows it from a marginalized perspective. I think that's like a wonderful way to take a lot of these old stories and make them new again. And that's kind of why I wrote like a Bollywood Beauty and the Beast retelling and made it Indian. I just I like taking all kinds of things and making them brown.
I love it.
And you mentioned Sonali Doves too.
Yes, Pride, Prejudice, and Other Flavors, where it's like about a very upper crust Indian family in, I think, California. Like the son is like running for political office, and like the character, the protagonist in the first book, she's a brain surgeon, and she's supposed to operate on the hero's sister. And I guess I'd venture to say it's actually, she's kind of the Mr. Darcy character, because she's the one from a snobbier background and more privileged. And the hero is kind of the Lizzie Bennet character, the scrappy kind of person from a more ragtag family who's trying to make a name for themselves. So that was really interesting. And, you know, again, like flipping the expectations from that original retelling around. And I think her next one is a redoing of Persuasion, which is another Jane Austen book I have not read.
I've actually never read that one either.
Yes.
This sounds good. See, that's probably what I'll do, is just I'll go to like Wikipedia and then like read the plot on the Jane Austen novel and then go and read the book.
That's pretty much the best way to
go read the retelling.
I have accepted that about myself at this point. I do not need to read classics anymore. I did enough of that in college. I have accepted that. I have way past that in my life now.
Seriously, just give me all the retellings, and that's fine with me. Like I don't know, the Moby Dick retelling where she's chasing a literal dick. I have no idea.
I need somebody to write that.
I did say, okay, Moby Dick, it is a shape-shifting whale. Captain Ahab is a he calls himself a philanthropist, but we all know that he ain't shit. And he's here just to cause tons of trouble. He's probably been a real asshole to our wonderful protagonist on board. And now it's time for our protagonist and the shape-shifting whale, who has an unfortunate choice of last names, to to team up and take care of these things.
That's right. Moby Dick, where Ishmael and the whale end up together. I'm here for that.
Yes.
Oh my God, I'm on board.
You're on board the ship.
I just read like this article about fan fiction because I really didn't know very much about it. And I've always felt like I couldn't write it because I don't watch enough TV. Like, but now I I now see a new way to come at this. So
say you could.
I've written like thousands upon thousands of pieces of fan fiction in my life at this point. Like if I stopped to count, like in hundreds of fandoms. Like I started writing fanfic when I was like 9, 10 years old, longhand, before the internet.
Oh my gosh.
Before computers. And so I've been writing, essentially been writing retellings my whole life, if you think about it.
That is awesome. I'm going to have to talk to you after so that I can ask you all these fan fiction questions. I'm going to be up in your DMs.
I mean, I have an upcoming story in my next anthology that I'm hoping to put out sometime in December 2019, January 2020. That's a retelling of the movie Roadhouse, which is a Patrick Swayze, Sam Elliott movie where, they're bouncers at a dive bar. And, so I decided to write a retelling where they get involved with a woman. It's a Minaj story.
Please tell me they're all together.
Oh yes, they're all together.
Okay.
Yes.
I love it already.
Everybody bang it out or GTFO. That's my new motto.
Yes, I need that on a t-shirt or like a embroidery, sampler.
Yes.
Everybody bang out or get the fuck out.
So does this mean that retellings like for fan fiction can also work for movies that really ended shittily?
Yes, in my opinion, yes.
All right, I got some movies. All right. So we'll take some. What are your favorite retellings that you haven't mentioned yet? Like, so what recommendations do you have for us?
Oh my gosh, I feel like I rattled them off all already.
The Happy Ending series by Zoe Castile, the last one, Flashed, was a retelling of Beauty and the Beast, which I'm a sucker for that. Any retellings of Beauty and the Beast, I will generally at least give them a try. I just loved this one. And it was also my favorite of the series. I liked the whole series, but this one was my favorite. Patrick is the male main character, and he has an accident. And before, he was basically just a douchebag. And so afterwards, he doesn't want to leave his house, and he has this like massive mansion. And he hires the female main character, and then their relationship kind of develops through like text messages and phone calls, which are freaking super hot in this book. Like, oh my gosh, those things are just ridiculously hot. And the whole book is just really good. It has definite like Beauty and the Beast vibes throughout it. And it was just, I really love her writing. And I really like, so Patrick has a lot of anxiety and fear of like leaving the house and being seen in public, because after the accident, he's like disfigured, obviously, because, Beauty and the Beast. So I really like how she handled his fears and how much Lena did not like let him get away with him being like such a douchebag.
She's like my Rocky in that way. Rocky in Bollywood and the Beast is very similar to Lena in that respect. They were both like, we're not taking your shit.
Exactly. And that's, anyone who knows me knows that I like badass female main characters. And that doesn't mean that they have to be like physically badass. Like that could be like, emotionally badass. And that's how I felt like Lena was. And I just, I just really, really like this book. And you can read it as a standalone. I really don't think that you have to like read the first two. I mean, I would recommend it because the whole series is good, but I definitely think you could read book three and not like miss anything.
Right. I mean, I love anything Zoe Castile / Zoraida Cordova writes.
Agreed. Yes.
Yeah, I would read her milk cartons. Wait, that's not a thing. I meant her grocery list.
Whatever. Yeah, I really love her writing.
Yes, me too. No, that's a great rec.
And then my other rec, oh, it's so good. Sherry Thomas, who is amazing. Magnolia Sword, I think it came out this year, just a couple of months ago, which is a Mulan retelling. And I think it's the only Mulan retelling I've ever read. And it's definitely not like the Disney version, which we all know is totally fine, because this one is definitely much more faithful to the original story and like the traditional folklore, and still like managed to feel incredibly new. Her writing is just really captivating, and you can tell she put in so much research. It takes place during like 5th century China, and I loved that when I read it, I felt like I was learning a lot of new things, and there's just a lot of action, and there's this like really beautiful, sweet romance throughout it. But there's also just the female main character is just obviously a badass because, I mean, the core story is of Mulan going to war, basically. So that core story is still there. And there's like this really interesting rivalry between families going on in this book. I don't know. The entire thing is just really beautifully done. And I just think any Sherry Thomas book is wonderful. But this one, I just loved so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Oh, my gosh.
I really think you would like it, Mika, because it's just, it's Mulan, but like going back to like the original, like traditional folklore, and her reading is so beautiful.
It was. I really loved that book too.
Badass, like female main character, and just like a lot of action and adventure. So it's just really great.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm here. I'm here for this.
So
anyone else have any rec?
I think that's it for me. And I know Suleika gave ones that I would have given too. So I think that's it.
Yeah. I think I rattled off the, what was it?
That's a bazillion recs for you.
Yeah. All right. I have one more question then. And not to put anybody on the spot. So if you don't know the answer, we can find the answer outside of the podcast and then include it in the show notes. And that is my way of cheating. Mm-hmm. So we talk a lot about like fairy tale retellings and mythology. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious if either of you have specific books that you go to read some, you know, folk tales or folklore, or to research some of that.
I mean, mine mostly, you know, I haven't really read, you know, fairy tales in a long time, the actual source material. But I think a good person sometimes to help refresh, Robin McKinley has a lot of great kind of fairy tale retellings that I sometimes read when I'm in the mood to like remember what the original stories were like. But she also puts her own weird spin on them all. She has like two different retellings, Beauty and the Beast. I think one's called Beauty and the other one's called Rose Daughter. So I like to read things like that. Or
gotcha.
And of course, I grew up with a lot of Hindu mythology, so that's kind of just already knocking around in my brain. But yeah, so I don't really spend a lot of time going back to the old, you know, source material. But obviously, there's the Grimm's brothers, or the Brothers Grimm. I don't know how. They're dead, so I have no idea how they choose to be. But, you know, Hans Christian Andersen and all that kind of thing. You know.
Yeah, I would say I haven't, you know, gone back and read any of those in a million years.
Which is probably why we retell them, because a lot of them end very unhappily.
Oh, my God. Everyone dies.
Yeah,
and like
everyone
something
dies.
Their, you know, feet get cut off, and like, you know, there's like weird incesty bits, and like, I don't know.
I just had this horrible like realization of why I might like, you know, romantic retellings, because I realized that I read, you know, Anne Rice's Claiming of Sleeping Beauty at a way too young age, which is erotic and just, I mean, just
not, it's rough.
Not
it's a rough one.
At a really young age.
Yeah.
And I just had a realization, maybe that's why I like, you know, romantic retellings at this age now.
Yeah.
So.
Hey.
Yeah. I mean, because God knows those original, as you said, they were very dark and
very dark
and not really sexy. Like even the
It was okay. But when you're, you know, way too young reading those and you don't know better and you're like, what is this?
I mean, I meant the originals, not Anne Rice being unsexy. Oh. I mean, like I'm like, but I would understand why she would want to put her own kinky spin on. You know, it's kind of like what we're doing now, what authors do now is putting our own kind of issues and our own spin on all these old stories.
And I think that's great, because that means that there's room, like that just makes even more room for everybody at the table. And there's, you can never retell the same kind of story all the time, like the same way too many times. You just can't. And to be frankly honest with you, I want retellings all day long with more diverse people. And there's no one that's ever going to be able to tell me different.
Right. No. And that's why when I was ranting about the Regency earlier, and trying to kind of draw that parallel between Regency romances and retellings, you know, what I was trying to get at and stumbling all over was that, you know, that is also a space where we need diverse voices. And, you know, diverse perspectives to shake that up, you know, to take
I think it was pretty clear for sure. I mean, at least to me, like, I think both of those things are pretty clear.
I just pictured myself wandering off into a field somewhere and like needing to be like, like dragged back, like, Suleika, come back.
I think that anyone who says that, you know, fat or, you know, when people say that, oh, I'm so over, you know, vampires are over or whatever, fad is over. And then someone else will be like, no, nothing is over until every single minority has had their chance at telling their story. Right.
And, you know, if vampires are over for you, then go read another subgenre. That's what I feel about.
Exactly. Like, I'm about to get my grubby paws all over vampires and werewolves. So it ain't over yet. It ain't over until I finish with it. Like,
I don't actually think vampires are over. Come on. I have never stopped reading vampires.
Same.
Over.
Like, same. So before we end this, we like to, on the podcast, we like to give a shout out to someone who is doing really fabulous things on Twitter and who is reviewing books. And so today it is my turn. And I wanted to give a shout out to Syl, who is the Book Voyagers on Twitter. And Syl is she's a Mexican blogger, has a wonderful blog. She retweets lots of awesome things. She talks a lot about diversity and she recommends, like, I mean, her recommendation pile is very diverse. And she is probably one of the most excited people I see on Twitter.
She is. She's great.
I love Syl, and I love her recommendations. So yeah, I agree. This is a great shout out. She's amazing. She does so much to promote marginalized authors and, you know, diverse books, and she's wonderful.
Yeah. I get great recs from her, and she's a great follow. She's fun to follow. She is always doing wonderful things.
Her energy and excitement about the genre and books as a whole are boundless and infectious. So we will have her info out there in the show notes so that you too can follow her and see her blog. Suleika, thank you.
Thank you. I feel like we spent most of the time talking about other people's books because that's what I like to do. I'm like, why are you just, like, let's not talk about mine. I will tell you about everyone else's books instead.
Don't you worry. You're going to be talked about apparently on like 80 of our episodes. So.
Exactly. Exactly. And we just want to thank you listeners for listening. If you have favorite retellings, hit us up. We want to know. We will at the end tell you all about the bazillion ways that you can get in contact with us, but we want you to also be a part of the conversation and we want to know about your favorite retellings because I like to be educated and to learn more. So I'm ready.
Yes. Thank you, Mika and Melinda, for having me on. I really appreciate it. And I guess since we all admitted how we feel about Austin, we're just all going to go be canceled together.
Yeah.
And just sit in the corner and eat lots of
snacks. There's booze in the cancel corner.
There's booze in the canceled corner. Yes.
Yes. Oh, and Suleika, where can all of our listeners find you?
I'm on Twitter as Suleika Snyder, at Suleika Snyder. And I also have a website that I try to update, SuleikaSnyder.com. You can find all my ebooks on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, iBooks, and Kobo. There's pretty much something for everyone in there. Because I just wander all over, much like I do in these conversations on podcasts. So I can assure you that my books range just as far and wide as my mouth.
Excellent. Wait, we will have links to all of that in the show notes for sure.
Thank you again. Right.
Okay.
And happy reading.
Bye. Bye. Happy reading.
Bye, podcast.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of ROM Book Pod, Inclusively Yours, a new weekly podcast celebrating inclusive romance one trope at a time. If you'd like weekly recommendations for inclusive romance, please take a moment to subscribe. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest at ROM Book Pod. That's ROMBKPOD. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, happy reading.